Amen. Yeah. Worship is like one of those fancy trailers that has the hoist on it. It lifts up and dumps the weight off. Just as simply as looking to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Running, as I said, when we were singing it, I just see the things coming off, you know. It's like, maybe it's like a person who's been crossing the desert and they see some water and they're running, throwing stuff off to dive in. The Lord just simply put in my heart a thought, and that was is that ultimately, in order for everything to go as God has planned, we need to become lovers of God. God said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." To become a lover of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But loving God is getting past fear. And you have to know someone to love them. And with God, fortunately, the more we get to know Him, the more we love Him. People can disappoint. You know, sometimes people will fall in love or thought they fell in love, and then all of a sudden I don't even know you. And when those things happen for Christians, then we need to get to know one another. We need to honor God. But to become lovers of God. Reckless lovers of God, like He's a reckless lover of us. You know, some people say, well, God loves me. Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. He loves us. He never stops loving us. Never. I don't know how He does that. Do you know how He does that? Because, I mean, let's face it. There's just some people that we don't even know that we have a hard time loving, right? Praying for all the wickedness and evil to be exposed. I do that. I've done that. That one particular thing that I handed out, and I prayed that one day. It was a wonderful, wonderful time of praying. My problem is with loving them. See, there's some that we see the news about and stuff that I'm honest with God and say, Lord, I got to be honest with you. I don't really care if they get saved. But if they, you know, if you save them when you're exposing them, that's good. They'd be my brother. But, you know, when they've sold their souls to evil, I don't feel any better than anybody, but I don't think that I ever sold my soul. I offered. I did say I would sell my soul to be a Las Vegas entertainer. I didn't really know the implications of that necessarily. But it seemed like a good thing to say. You know, anything to get what I wanted. Oh, does that sound vaguely familiar? That sometimes we want what we want? And sometimes, even as Christians and really actually lovers of God, at least to the best of our abilities, we can sort of turn our heads, avert our eyes from the glory of God because I want what I want. And I know I shouldn't be thinking that way, but I want what I want. But I want what I want. The Lord knows my heart, but I want what I want. Yeah, you're right, Lord. You're right, Lord. I mean, I know the Lord's right. I know. I know. I hear him even saying what I know. I mean, I know what I know. But Lord, God, I want it. So, Lord, how about if we just override what you want and I get what I want and then we'll get everything back to peace. My poor wife lives with me. Yeah, I'm glad everybody prays for her. But, you know, I mean, I know my wife. And I know how she operates. It's not malicious. It's not ugly. It's not anything. But I know that when she starts to tell me that she's thinking about something, that she's been planning this for a long time. You know, she's had her yardstick out measuring because she's thinking that she wants to get something to put her mixer on so that I don't have to get her mixer off the refrigerator for her. Isn't that kind of her? Like I really hate to get the mixer down. And as she's thinking of this, she's already come up with and all the other stuff she could get for her mixer, and she could do so much more stuff, and it would all fit on this little cart. And so I listen as she's looking and plotting, and not plotting, looking and planning. And she has herself really convinced, and so she just assumes that I'll be really convinced too. And what's a cart? And I'm thinking, yeah, it's got wheels. We can just move it around whenever we need to move it around because it's not really a great place for it to fit. Maybe I could put pulleys on the ceiling. I could just raise it up. John could help me. He'd help me figure out how to make it hydraulic, so she'd just have to push a button. So that then when people came in, they'd see this cart hanging from the ceiling, and they'd say, that's interesting, and it doesn't look real convenient because when you walk across the kitchen, you have to kind of go like this, and go like this to get around it, and if you're not looking, you bang into it, you know, and so then people would see me on the street with these little knobs on my head and say, oh, you'll walk through the kitchen again. She's special. And then I'm trying to remind her, you know, when she says it's this wide and it's this wide, and I said it's got to be wide and long. She said, honey, I'm on drugs. And I can remember that too. Anyway. But our chains are gone. But you know something? That's funny. But the truth is, sometimes we're walking around and we might as well have lumps on our heads because we're not necessarily walking in character of who we are. Because we've gotten out of our character of who we are. Because we've been trying to get God to do what we want. And because God's not doing what we want, we're not necessarily satisfied with life. You know? And so when we let our selfishness, because when we are wanting and not patiently waiting, then we're running around naked. We're out of character. Because we're out of fellowship. And we're having to excuse. Vicki and I are having a lot of fun with me trying to be the nurse and her forgetting who's in charge. But you know, I mean, it's like she will do something that I told her. I said, I don't mind helping you. I just don't like catching you. She said, well, I haven't fallen down. I said, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want to catch you doing what you shouldn't be doing. Because when I do that, she's sort of thinking like I'm being mean, but I'm not. It's self-preservation. I want her well. And so when I come walking up the stairs and she's like this by the dishwasher, and I say, how did you do that? How did you get the soap in the dishwasher? Oh, with my little thingy that I can pick up and I can drop it in. And how did you get the thing? Well, I bent my legs. I didn't stoop over. I've watched her. You can't, when you bend your legs this far and you stoop, I said, it's like a toe toucher, honey. And then I tell her, please, just, if you think you're going to need to make an excuse, just don't do it. If the thought comes to you that you should call me and you decide, well, I didn't want to bother you, don't do it. Boy, does that sound like Holy Ghost advice? If you have to excuse something, don't do it. If you have to rationalize something, don't do it. Just don't. It's like we have a pity party because nobody understands. God knows, but he's not doing anything. Remember last week I told you that I had to keep my mouth shut and my phone on mute because there were things being shared on the Bible study that were things that I believe were ministering to people's hearts, and this pastor jumped in and just shoved stuff clear out to heaven again. We know heaven's going to be great, don't we? We know it's going to be great. But we also know that we don't necessarily want to wait for everything then, you know. Hey, it's okay if your life sucks. It'll be good in heaven. It'll be okay in heaven. How many people do you think really buy that? Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. The only people that do that, oh yes, thank you, Jesus, are the people that have put on their own icing. Because they don't mean it. It was like I was telling the people at jail, you know, as a child praying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord his soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, what comfort is there for a 5-year-old? My soul to take? Fortunately, 5-year-olds don't think that deeply. I don't remember. I didn't think deeply enough to say, what's that take my soul thing? Mom? Don't ask questions, just pray, son. Oh, it hurts so bad, honey. It'll be okay in heaven. So let's not get carried away thinking that you need to feel better. It'll be okay in heaven. You'll be able to run in heaven. Oh, well, I'm just talking to my wife right now. Wouldn't that just comfort you? No, she'd say, are you stupid? Or she would say, sometimes I just want to slap you, Roger. I have proof that she's holy. She used to just slap me. Now she just tells me she wants to. If your back didn't hurt, you'd be up here right now. And people would hear, crack. Now, she hasn't done that for years. Have you? Okay, I didn't think so. She likes being popular. Don't get her. Being the mayor is a hard thing. People talk about her. I talk good about her. But you understand. Does any of this make a picture for you? See? But when we love God, love covers a multitude. Love keeps us from a multitude of sins. We love God. To become lovers of God. I love you too much. Holy Spirit, help me remember that I love God too much that when I want to make an excuse, I shouldn't. Now, you all know that I love this girl and that I'm serious when I say I do just want her well. And it's not because I love nursing her too. I love helping her. I do. But I'd be lying to you and I wouldn't tell you I do it perfectly. And that's where you can say amen, honey. But, you know, we sing the song, "This is my desire to honor you." This is my desire to honor you. And so there are times when if I just keep my mouth shut and I look up, because when we're tired and we don't have any strength, it's funny how well our mouth works when our brain is shut off. But I love you, God, so I'll just look up. Because you are my help, not just in times of trouble. You're my help in great times. You're my help. You are God. For the Lord, He is God. And the greatest thing that we can do, the most important thing we can ever do, is be a lover of God. Because otherwise, we will be trying to figure out what we can do so that God will love us. And then our attitude will be, our understanding will be, apparently, I did something wrong. Because if everything isn't going my way, God must not love me. But God loves us no matter what. And when we love Him, we know He loves us. And then we are comforted no matter what. It's not that we love Him, it's that He first loved us, but loving Him. Chris Christopherson wrote a song that loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again. Loving God is easy. What's not to love? But the love of God opens us up for the peace of God that passes understanding. I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. Sometimes we need to be willing to remember what we sing. As I said, when we first met God, I knew I had run into something that I wanted to know, but I didn't know how to know. And when I sang, and when I sat down, and when the Holy Spirit sang the words, Lord, here I am, I'm on my knees to you. I'm begging your forgiveness and your love so true. So take me and hold me. Show me the way. Take me and mold me. Talk about the Holy Spirit pouring words through that I had no clue about. But they were perfect, and God grew me into the song, and I'm still moving into it. I figured out I was forgiven, and that I couldn't earn the forgiveness. Just as simply as Vicky was kissed by Jesus and her chains fell off. My chains are gone. Folks, sometimes we're walking around with chains that are clanging. They're unhooked and we're dragging them with us. When we were singing Welcome Holy Spirit this morning, and as we were worshiping, I was hearing something. And so I had to pause to listen to see what I was hearing. I was checking the sound system. The closest I can come to what I was hearing was you know, on summer nights when the locusts or the katydids or whatever they are, you know, it was just power. You know what those sound like is like power lines, really. You know, and it was just, and I'm thinking, I've heard people talk about the hearing angels singing, and it just, you know, sounds like a jungle of like this chatter, you know. I'm sitting there, and so I'm trying to figure that out. When I'm trying to figure that out, my fingers are having a hard time figuring out what they're supposed to do. I don't have any idea where to go, but I'm intrigued. And as I stand here and I say that now, if we will be sensitive to the voice of the Lord, he can distract us from everything else that's going on. And once we've allowed him to take out of our hearts or our minds our selfishness, wanting our way, and then reminding us, we remind ourselves, really we say, I do love the Lord. And when I love the Lord comes in, then everything just moves into place, begins to move in sync again. And then, like Vicky said, when the junk falls off, we have energy. Because we cannot run well or right when we're not running on our love for God. When I went and got my pickup fixed, the gentleman said, have you been running E85 in your truck? I said, no, I've never run into E85. I've run 15 or 30. He said that my computer had decided that I was running 70% alcohol in the engine. Now, I didn't know how this worked, but when the computer thinks I'm running 70% alcohol, it's calculating how much more gasoline it has to pour in so it gets enough gasoline. And so that's why when the real troubles began was when I would start it and I would have to pump it and then smoke would come out of my tailpipe. And I think, this is different. But it was exaggerating the situation. And the computer didn't care if it was right or wrong. It put in what it wanted. We do sometimes. We have calculated what we want. And because we've calculated what we want, it doesn't run right. But as we become more and more lovers of God, we recalibrate. We recalibrate our lives. We recalibrate on the move. We recalibrate because we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're sensitive to the checks of the Spirit. We're sensitive to the uncomfortableness that happens in our lives, and we want it fixed. See, I recognized months ago that things weren't running just right. I excused that sort of like it has a lot of miles on it. And then I decided I better get it fixed because I looked at the prices of other trucks. I didn't want to spend that much. And then I calculated and I said, I can spend a lot to get this fixed and it still ain't compared to anything because I like the pickup. And so I ended up going to the place that God reminded me the guy would work on it, and the guy worked on it, and I think that I told you that when I saw the bill, I could not believe it. I told him, I said, you can't do that for this much. And he said he did. And so I blessed him in the name of the Lord. I could not justify. I said, look, I feel like I'm still robbing you. He was happy. I was happy. But I waited, and I don't want to wait when it comes to the things of God. I don't want to wait. Because I don't want him to have to wait for me. I don't want to slow down what he's doing. I love him, and I trust that he knows what he's doing. Just like you say, the stuff is all sitting there. What do I do with it? Sometimes stuff is all sitting there. We figure out what we'd like to do with it. You know, I'm not a baker, but I can figure out if something says put in a pinch of salt, a half a cup of salt's not going to be right. Well, I like salt. I think I'll just throw it in. Wait till you see the faces of the people. And you say, hey, don't knock it till you tried it. I don't need you. No, come on, have a little bit. Come on, yeah, I thought it was a great idea. How many times have you had a great idea, and the whole time that you were doing the great idea, you were thinking, this is not. Lovers of God. Lovers of God are more comfortable making requests. Lovers of God are more comfortable waiting. Lovers of God know that they're loved. We know that God loves us no matter what. And that's a comfort to us. And we know that if it goes clear out to heaven, that will be fine. But we also have enough confidence in God, enough relationship with God, to continue to believe now in this lifetime. Lovers of God are able to offer people more than way out there somewhere. He's a now God. We need his comfort now. We need his healing now. We need his protection now. We need him now, man. We need God now. And the more that we love him, the more that we know we have him. And the more that we have him, the more we can share him. We are truly in a great time for the kingdom of God. We really are. Because as the darkness becomes darker, there's going to be more people looking for the light. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So let's be prepared at every opportunity to share the hope that is within us. So then let's have the hope. Jesus is our blessed hope. We will love the Lord our God. We will grow in that love. We'll be delivered from excuses and rationalizing. We'll be quick to remove them if they show up suddenly. Amen. Lord, you loved us. You love us. You poured enough love into us. Help us, Lord, to be the lovers of God that you've created us to be. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God, we praise you.